So, about my special talent. You see, I'm a serial meeting ditcher, a walkout artist, an underground pioneer of worker bee liberty. And I've gotten so good at it that the very people running these meetings don't even realize they're getting ditched, even though I do what I do in broad daylight. I just get up and walk out. None of that exaggerated tiptoeing bullshit. It's that simple, but of course, just like so many things in life, it's simple because I've spent years toiling away on the craft. In my journey, I've worked hard to master the tools of nuance and distraction, and I've spent a lot of time on my people-reading skills. Knowing when meetings are most vulnerable to a successful ditch is just as important as knowing how to ditch them. Ultimately, all of it must come together, but when it does, when the right bozos call you into the wrong meeting with the right conditions for a juicy little ditch, few things feel as good. For me, it all started when I met Bob Watson. In case you're wondering, Bob had no idea who I was, and still doesn't. And I didn't really notice him either. He was always the good-natured guy who'd make a few good comments in meetings, get good conversations going. He was such a great listener. He'd even get me cranked up, and soon I'd be blabbering on, and he'd lie back and let people dive into the heart of the matter. He'd let them have center stage. That's the kind of guy he was. Bob was middle-aged and had his own scene going. He'd wear these worn-in loafers, khakis, and off-white and pastel linen shirts I'd imagine on a Latin jazz club owner. It was like he almost didn't fit in, but did just enough. He had this relaxed way to him. Not one of those too cool for you attitudes, but just this inner calmness, this look that seemed nearly tickled, but again, not quite. His speech pattern was slow California native, his voice gravelly from smoking. He never took notes. In fact, he always seemed way too relaxed, just sitting there with this serene look on his face as everyone barked comments about leveraging PLDs for the LDocs. Of course, this was a long time ago, back when I was a 21-year-old rookie at Robards International, cutting my teeth on bottom-tier data transformation. And I'll be totally honest, I really didn't know what I was doing, and I surely had no idea how everyone else fit in. These two facts presented the perfect conditions for getting sucked into meetings that had nothing to do with me. If only I knew this is how corporate America works. And so there I'd be, stuck in these colorless conference rooms with mesh wallpaper, huddled around a long table with all these men in dockers and women in shoulder pads, none of them showing any intention of cutting off these mind-numbing discussions about something called the Rothberg documentation process. What did any of this have to do with me? Nothing, of course. And so my mind would, of course, turn to sex. After that, I'd usually proceed to people watching. You know, the normal stuff like, when was the last time that guy ate flapjacks? And I wonder what's the worst thing he's ever done? And of course, when was the last time she vomited? One day Bob had gotten things started. Let's pause and really think about this stuff. Now everyone was talking about the R tools and the FP and A docs. He had to give it to Bob. He really knew how to get the dialogue going. Even so, I could handle only so much of this stuff. It wasn't too long before I hit my max. Maybe Bob and the gang were loving it in here, but I hated it. The daydreaming wasn't working, and soon my knee was bouncing involuntarily out of pure caged animalism. Then my heart began to pound. I felt a light sweat cool my temples. My fists balled over and over. Inside, I was screaming. I just have to get out of here. I wanted to collect my things and just leave. Just leave this room and never come back. But of course, I couldn't. Bob and the others would notice. My throat tightened, and I realized I hate being detained, jailed, held, trapped. I felt my body rise from my chair and pace the room. Surprisingly, Bob and the gang didn't seem to care, and I realized everyone was too busy talking at each other. I stopped in front of the window, wondering how I could take control of my life short of retreating to a shack in the mountains where I'd have to live off worms and bark. Which was when I gazed longingly out the window and spotted Bob Watson crossing the street with a new cup of coffee in his hand, the steam wafting into the sunshine, his gait slow and relaxed, his Ray-Bans riding low on his nose. Not a care in the world as he strolled back from that coffee house where those gorgeous art students worked the steamers. Wait a minute. I stood there dumbstruck as I watched Bob saunter toward the building and stop to admire a squirrel scampering up a white oak. I thought Bob was here with us in this. I turned back to the conference room, and sure enough, there were Bob's things. His notepad, his pen, his water bottle. 30 minutes later, still no Bob. And no one seemed to care.